Night Shift at St. Mungo's. Written by Vesh and read by Wilfriede 0815. Fandom: Harry Potter. Relationship: Draco Malfoy / Harry Potter. Rating: Mature. Creator chose not to use archive warnings. Additional tags: Major character injury. Summary: Draco Malfoy, healer in charge at St. Mungo's Hospital, is called for an emergency on Christmas Eve. Healer Draco Malfoy stormed along the crowded corridor and almost stumbled into the oversized Christmas tree that had miraculously appeared in the reception area a week before the winter solstice. Salazar, do we need a forest in here? He shot a deadly glare at the welcome witch, who immediately ducked behind her desk. The sign above her, with inquiries painted in squealy letters onto it, swayed ominously at the sight of Draco's wrath. Trees? When did it happen that perfectly fine firs were draped with baubles, fairies, and garlands made of muggle popcorn, of all things? Draco recalled, with fondness, the winter solstice celebrations in the manor, when the farmers brought in the huge yule log that burned in the drawing room's fireplace for all of the 12 days of Christmas. He looked around the crowded reception area. It was plain amazing what kind of accidents people got themselves into on what was supposed to be a solemn evening of quiet celebration. There were at least 3 wizards who had flown a broom while under the influence, with the predictable results: broken legs, broken noses, and fractured collarbones. One witch, who was missing her entire backside, splinching accident, was Draco's guess. And there were a lot of red dripping noses, lots of noisy sniffling and blowing into handkerchiefs of every color and size imaginable. The common flu struck wizarding kind just like muggles and muggleborns. The latter being wizarding kind, of course, Draco quickly added in his mind. But why was he being called, by St. Mungo's emergency owl too, down here? He did not see anyone who may have accidentally downed the wrong potion, or was in need of pepper-up or a hangover remedy or anything else that fell into Draco's area of expertise. He was, after all, the healer in charge of the 3rd floor of St. Mungo's. Draco turned toward the welcome witch, Claire something or other, if he remembered correctly. Why was I called? He never finished the question. A half-strangled scream, full of pain, echoed through the reception area. The splinched witch turned her missing back towards Draco. The incessant sniffling came to an abrupt halt. Draco struggled to breathe. A male voice, much deeper when it was not screaming in agony. He knew that voice, knew how free it sounded with laughter, how excited when the wind tore at it, how needy below Draco in their warm white bed. All eyes were drawn to a cluster of red close to the entrance where half a dozen auras were standing there or kneeling, all still in uniforms, some coats torn to shreds, others discolored to a muddy brown from heat or fire or some wicked sort of magic. Draco registered blood smears on the faces. He did not make up his mind to walk towards them. His feet were moving with a will of their own. Red hair, impossible to miss, meant Weasley was standing close to whoever was injured so badly that he'd screamed in pain. "You promised me, Weasley," Draco muttered. "You bloody promised me." Ron Weasley quickly turned to him, and his face, already pale under the freckles and the splatters of blood, became even paler. The aura badge was glistening on his chest, the 3 dark stripes the only sign that he was second in command to the head aura. Draco wondered whether Robards would have called Gringotts to get a curse breaker on an emergency case, but then the wizard on the floor moaned, and he had to look at him. Look at the man who was at the center of the group. Smethwick, from the Dal Llewellyn ward, all in lime green, crouched over him, chanting quiet incantations. Healer Smethwick, who barely spoke a word to Draco but would give his life for the savior of the wizarding world. Old school, a lifetime of experience, a Dumbledore man through and through. If anyone could save. Draco squinted through drops of wetness that somehow had accumulated around his eyes. He allowed himself to look at Harry. Look at him fully and take in the damage done. Harry had worn protective gear, at least, even when the dragonskin jacket was half melted away on his chest. Draco did a quick inventory. Hair gone, wild black strands flying in the wind. Eyebrows singed away, left eye swollen shut and bloodied, lips busted, dry and cracked, so sweet to kiss. Vicious blisters on every patch of skin that was not covered by clothes or armor. Stupid, stupid Potter to never wear gauntlets, what with his obsession with fire curses. His hands, blunt, strong, gentle fingers carding through Draco's hair, were burnt to stumps. The air in the reception area seemed full of ash. There was the stingy odor of something wet and burning. Draco found he had to lean against Weasley, or else he would have gone down on his knees, on the floor red with blood where Harry was lying. Arms were circling around his waist, not Harry's arms, and he was slumping against Weasley. "You promised not to call him on Christmas. You promised not to call him. Not tonight." Draco's words were a mumble against Weasley's uniform. Snow, magic, fire, fear. Draco could smell all of it. "We had a lunatic set Fiendfire loose in the holding cells. I had to call Harry." Weasley's voice was shaking, a stuttering rumble at Draco's cheek. Draco wanted to step away from Weasley, get to Harry, but his legs still didn't feel as if they'd hold him upright. Over Weasley's shoulder, he could see how Smethwick levitated Harry, holding him at waist level before him. Smethwick raised his wand. "No." Draco did not trust healing spells more complicated than your standard episky. There was something muggle about them. Not that he'd ever say that aloud. Forcing the body to heal instead of enticing it with a potion to heal itself. It was part of why he did not trust Smethwick, and why Smethwick had never been able to look beyond Draco's dark mark. The first and third floor never got along at St. Mungo's, but it was more personal now, with Harry the target of whatever spell Smethwick's meant to cast on him. Draco shoved Weasley away, hard and fast. Weasley was so surprised he lost his balance and took two auras with him when he crashed to the floor. Draco's knees miraculously had got their strength back, and he pushed the remaining auras out of the way. It was just Smethwick between him and Harry, and Draco covered the distance with two long strides. "Keep the bloody death eats off my back," Smethwick muttered. Or something like it. Draco was not quite sure he heard right. Smethwick would not dare to stupefy. Draco saw the red light half a second after Weasley cast the spell, and then it was too late. He thought, "Harry," and "Don't die," and passed out. Draco had never in his life smoked a cigarette, but he had watched enough muggle movies with Harry to long for one now. It was a shame, really, there was no cigarette machine in the tea room. He had awoken hours ago on the uncomfortable couch in his lab. Since then, he'd been walking grooves into hardwood floors, first in his lab, and now in the tea room where he'd gone for a spot of tea. The SM was lukewarm and smelt like soap. Draco had not taken one sip from it. He could not drink tea when Smethwick was fighting, with his dreaded spells no less, for Harry's life. Claire Fawcett, Draco belatedly remembered the last name of the Welcome Witch, was checking in on him every hour or so, bringing news from the first floor. Healer in charge Malfoy himself was not allowed on the first floor. Healer's orders. Draco had been livid for a full 6 minutes when he'd realized the magical barrier would not let him apparate or walk down the stairs. He had made a silent vow to have Smethwick in retirement before the end of the year, no matter how. There were potions, undetectable ones, that brought on senility prematurely. "Harry Potter would live," had been Claire Fawcett's first message. "His eyes were fine," her second. "Harry was given Skellagrow for his hands," came the news after 3 hours of waiting. Thank Merlin for Smethwick realizing he did need potions after all. His hair already started to grow back, news that Draco could have predicted. There was no getting rid of the crow's nest that posed as Harry's hair. 4 in the morning, Draco was finally allowed back down. By then, he had figured out that it must have been Claire Fawcett who had called him to the reception area in the first place, when Harry had been brought in. He'd always thought she had a thing for Harry. And Zalazar from the Fen, who of the entire bloody St. Mungo staff did not have a thing for the savior of the wizarding world. But apparently, she liked them both. Flowers were in order, Draco decided. And perhaps something could be done to advance Fawcett's rising through the ranks from Welcome Witch to healer in training and potions and plant poisoning. Draco stumbled down the stairs after Claire Fawcett had rushed in to tell him Smethwick had left for the night. She'd reported some insult by Smethwick, about now being the time to get the fool of a husband. But Draco had been out the door before she'd finished that bit of news. He took the 4 flights of stairs in under 12 seconds, leaped through the spot where the magical barrier had been before, and then, all of a sudden, slowed his steps. Harry was behind a green door where someone had sloppily spelled his name on. The coven of Weasleys were asleep on a long bench opposite the door. What if Harry couldn't walk anymore? Draco stopped before the door. What if his magic was impaired? What, Draco wondered, frozen to the spot, if Harry had lost his memory? What if he did not remember him? Go in, someone said quietly from the bench, and Draco realized it was Granger, cuddled up to Weasley, who was snoring loudly. He's waiting for you. Nothing for it, then. Draco slipped into the room and found himself in a muted gloom. He saw Harry at once, because you could never miss Harry, no matter where he was. His hair was short, which was an unusual sight, but otherwise he looked normal. A bit pasty, maybe, but that could be due to the light. Tired, yes, but who wouldn't look tired after a night like this? Draco. Green eyes, open, alive, looking at Draco with the usual glint of amusement, with fond recognition. Something was loosening in Draco's chest, a stone the size of a mill wheel, it felt like. He would let Weasley live. He would put up with Felix Smethwick for as long as the old croc could shuffle about. He would not demand a cigarette machine was installed in the tea room, and he'd even let the bad quality Essam slide. He would, though, have flowers delivered to Claire Fawcett, a grand bouquet of sunflowers and bright red tulips, for Harry was alive. Draco advanced to the bed, registering the bandaged hands and chest and the pink spots of newly healed skin in Harry's face and on his arms. One eyebrow was still missing. But, honestly, who cared about eyebrows? And? You're not going to say anything? There was maybe a bit of a slur in Harry's voice. The Skellagro, Draco assumed. Or whatever Smethwick had given him for the pain. Draco's legs were giving out underneath him, and he dropped on the side of the bed. Harry moved his bandaged arm to steady him at once, but Draco didn't need steadying. Not now, when he could sit beside Harry. Draco took the bandaged hand, so frail, and cradled it in his lap. Gently, because Harry was hurt. Draco could feel the Skellagro doing its work beneath his touch. I thought... He had to clear his throat.
I mean, what do you think about bringing one of those trees in? Seeing as you are going to spend Christmas in St. Mungo's. Again, I might add. I could have it decorated in no time. The Welcome Witch, did you see her? Buxomly, blonde one, Claire Fawcett? I'm sure I could get her to make some popcorn garlands. And I seem to remember Mother had banished some garish red baubles to the attic a couple of...
Harry's lips were dry and cracked. He tasted of myrtle and cabbage, but no kiss had ever been sweeter. Draco tried to be careful, but he couldn't. Not really. It didn't feel as if Harry minded when tongues got involved and a bit of teeth.
Merry Christmas, Harry whispered in a small space between them, and the odd wetness was back around Draco's eyes.
He couldn't say a word, and so he pulled Harry in for another kiss, cradling Harry's hands to his heart. The End.